Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. We have plenty to get to. Pete Futek coming up in 20 minutes time. We've also got Danny Cannell coming up at 6. Why are you looking at me like that, Mac? You're giving me a weird look. Don't be weird, dude. Is it the clownitudes? You thinking about the clownitudes?
No, I was zoning out.
Okay. Thinking about the clownitudes. That's what that's code for. Or his team, his quarterback Deadpool team. They both get you there. That being said, Pete Futek coming up in about 20 minutes. Mary Kay Capitan, we don't even have to play the full audio on this. She was talking about the Browns and talking about how much this team has going for it, including having Quinshon Judkins. And then she referred to the Browns defense. I thought it was interesting because she said that the Browns have a championship caliber defense. And I know that the Browns their defense has flashed some very dominant moments. But it was interesting when she said that, it sent off something in my head, kind of signaling that maybe I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. But for you, I guess we first should define, what is a championship caliber defense in your opinion?
Oh, good, because I wanted that definition as well. I'm thinking of like the type of team when you get to the Super Bowl, you're talking about the defense more than you are the offense. So, like, for instance, I'm not, because there's a lot of defenses that you can win the Super Bowl with. The Chiefs, in the first year that Mahomes won, there was like the 18th ranked defense in the NFL. Like, they were allowing a lot of points. And we've seen defenses in the past be with really good offenses and it not be relative to what you saw the past couple years with the Chiefs, where they entered with top 10 defenses. And at times you can make an argument we're better than the offensive side of the ball.
So I'm glad you said this, because I also think a championship caliber, I think of like the Ravens when they won their first Super Bowl. I think of... I can't remember which Pittsburgh Steelers team, but one of those two teams.
Three Super Bowls with the Patriots.
Yes. Like when, as much as you might, certainly the Russell Wilson led Seattle Seahawks with a Legion of Boom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and by the way, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a historic defense, but yes, that's the upper caliber part of this. I just think like a top five defense, which means, yeah, top five in pass rush, top five in run defense, top five in turnovers, like where you're just across the board consistently top five. And so I think the Browns have a chance here to end up the season as a top 10 defense. They might even be able to, in certain categories, certainly pass rush, be able to be top five. The thing that I debated with and still debate with is whether they're championship caliber to the letter of the law that I think you and I are talking about.
Well, so last week was a good step in the idea that they actually got four turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like last year, for that defense to only have four interceptions for the entire season was laughably low. So they're starting to do some of the things that we would talk about within this concept. What's interesting, Nick, is that the advanced metrics, DVOA loves this Browns defense.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth overall in the NFL. They love them way more than if you look at just points per game, for instance. So there's certain elements of this team that really does flash, and they have some big games attached to them. Once again, they shut down Joe Burrow. Like, they have some moments that you can look at and say, this is awesome. And you also have some games like week two against the Ravens. You also have some games like you saw against the Lions, where it looked like Jared Goff could have put up 70 if he wanted to. And that's where I kind of struggle with naming them a championship defense.
Yeah, against the best teams, they've been okay at points, and they've also gotten blown out. Now, in fairness, I think the offense has led to the blowouts more than the defense has.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why, like, when Mary Kay said championship caliber defense, my initial reaction was, huh. And that's not to demean them, because it's week seven going on week eight. Like, you don't have to be a championship caliber defense this late in the season. You can grow into that as the season goes along, right? If you get health in the right breaks, I do think defenses can continue to get better as the season goes along. The problem here is going to be you're going to be fighting what does the offense give you, and you're going to be put in precarious situations because of the offense. But, like, to be, at least DVOA, a top five defense or the fifth best defense with this offense, I think is an incredible mark in the, hey, we might have one. I just think I need to see more. I need to see them against Drake May. I need to see them, yeah, you know, against Lamar. I need to see them in matchups where you're the only chance that you really have to win in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go win that game.
Yeah, like the Packers game, for instance.
Yeah.
The Packers game, that was a defense win game. Like, they won that game. You did everything you needed to do against Jordan Love. You held their offense in check the entire game. And you did just enough for Joe Flacco to put up 13 points to win the game. Like that's a defense win game.
And I would say, I think to be a championship caliber defense,
you got to have, like, four or five of those throughout the season?
Yeah. Well, and by the way, that's if you have a good offense. If you don't have a good offense, you might have to put up six of those kind of games, which isn't necessarily fair, but it's the NFL. None of this is fair.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, some of the better defenses with just absolute nothing burgers of offense in recent years. And it's kind of funny if you just kind of, like, go through that process, because most of the time, even when you have really good defenses, we find at least something, a semblance of a quarterback on the other side that you can kind of make some bread with.
Do you think they have the pieces this year to be a championship caliber defense?
I still think they're too short on corner. Like, the MJ Emerson injury, I think, is just really hurting this team in a way that I don't love. Listen, we like the soup can. We like what the development there, but I'm not sold that's a thing that's going to exist for all the rest of this season.
I also think you're thin at safety.
Yeah.
Behind Hickman and Delpit, I think your linebackers are really, really young. And I think just in general, like, even your defensive line, as deep as it is, you know, Mason Graham's a rookie. Isaiah McGuire's a third-year guy. Like, you still have enough youth on defense, which is not a bad thing. But if you have some obvious glaring, I don't say issues, but places where you're not as strong as maybe the defensive line, I think that, and by the way, we're saying that at 100%.
Yeah, what's funny is that, so the Browns are 13th in pressure rate. You would have thought that they just assumed with the defensive line and the season this defensive line is having so far, and obviously I throw Malik Collins in the mix, Isaiah McGuire, Alex Wright, we'll throw Mason Graham in there, and then obviously Miles. You'd think they'd have a much better number than that. You know, like, last year they had a high pressure rate last year, and they didn't have enough sacks. Like, that was the difference there. It was like a high pressure rate, but they were, for large parts of last year, in the 20s when it came to sacks. What's interesting about this year, the pressure rate numbers aren't there for what you think it would be.
Yeah, and I also think some of that is, I think defenses, especially over the last couple of weeks, has really started to just key in of just get the ball out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and Tua does that better than just about anybody, and saw that on display.
Well, but that... I
even if it went to our hands,
I think,
he was getting rid of it awfully quick.
I think in general, there's a lot about that game that you throw out, except that the one thing they did that should have worked but didn't was getting the ball out quickly. 216-474-0092. Do the Browns have a championship caliber defense?
I mean, doesn't that kind of stink though? If you can say you have a championship caliber defense and you have two wins to show for it through seven games, and it looks like we're going to be a 5-win team.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because I don't think they do have a championship caliber defense. I think they have whatever the tier is below that, where I think if you had a legitimate offense, I think this defense would be just under that cusp, right? Like, you don't. It's put in a lot of bad situations, so it's that one tier down. But at the same point, like, you are wasting this defense whether you think it's championship caliber or not.
I just think it just kind of speaks to how important the offensive side of the game is. And, like, sometimes we do wrap ourselves into getting every part of the defense right and making sure the defense can do this and the defense can't do that. But If you have something that Mary Kay, again, you obviously say you don't believe that, but if something Mary Kay believes is a championship caliber defense, and at the end of the season you have 5 or 6 wins to show for it, we did a Joe Woods year that was very similar to that, by the way. That does just, again, I'm not breaking anything new here. It's just the offense matters so much in football.
Well, it matters so much. It matters to this point. You can't have an unfunctional offense in the NFL.
And that's what this team has been. They've been not only non-functional as on offense, it's been just a really, I mean, we're staring down the barrel of one of the worst offensive seasons in league history if this doesn't turn around.
Like, this is, if you had the 18th best offense, be it by scoring or whatever metric you want to use, mm-hmm. right now you'd probably be 5-2, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of different, I can make a case. I can make a legitimate case that if you just had a middle-of-the-pack offense with this defense and what they delivered, especially in the first, like, 4 weeks, where it's, I mean, take the Ravens game aside, but just losing the Bengals game by a point, and then and the Vikings game by 4, like, there was enough games in there, for sure there were.
And this is when it comes down to what I think the Browns, why it matters for the Browns, and why we're having this conversation is, I think there's this idea that this offseason is about going, you know, full bore and just throw every resource at solely the offense. And listen, you need a quarterback, you need a left tackle, you need to spend on a couple offensive linemen. I still think you need to be pretty diligent in making sure you can get that 1 or 2 extra pieces to give that defense maybe that extra little bump it needs on top of having a better offense. The extra 1 or 2 pieces will make the difference for this defense, and I don't think we're that far from championship caliber overall, though.
Yeah, but I'm curious to find out how they do that, because first 2 picks this year off the board, obviously defensive side of the ball, but then you did get to the offense with Quinshon. I'm curious if they just go offense, 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 and just continue down that road and kind of, like, you know, just reverse the course essentially.
I think it's tough to say without knowing, like, okay, who are the free agents? Who are the tradable players that are out there between now and obviously the draft? Listen, if you've got 4 picks in the top 100, right? 3 of those picks are probably going to be quarterback, left tackle, and wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fourth one can be another cornerback. The fourth one can be, I don't know that you need another linebacker. We'll see, but like maybe another safety or an impact safety. Then just because you're going to go find that left tackle. And by the way, at this point, you might not be drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, we don't know. A lot has changed. A lot has changed relative to what we all thought. And the quarterback landscape in the draft, as evidenced by the quarterback Deadpool, has shifted immensely.
It's going to be really interesting whether, even if they're in a position to take a quarterback, whether they're inclined to trade down, get another first for 2027, and then go a cornerback, left tackle, wide receiver, something like that, or defensive piece, and then 2 offensive pieces, and then bring in like a Mac Jones or a veteran quarterback, whoever it is, just to try and stabilize this thing further next year. 216-474-0092. Do the Browns have a championship-caliber defense? I can see why Mary Kay says so. I think we're just below that, but I think it's tough to say when you have the offense that the Browns have. Pete Futek, will Ohio State lose in the regular season? Pete answers that question in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. But Ohio State with the with yet another bye week, getting ready for the Penn State game. The last time I checked, they were like 18-point dogs. Does that sound about right? 18.5-point dogs. It makes sense because their quarterback that they replaced the injured Drew Aller with stinks to high heavens. But with Ohio State off, a lot of really good matchups this weekend. And a fair amount of good Ohio State conversations to have. All those, we head out to the fan hotline now. Welcome on of college football news every single Thursday at 4:20. The great Pete Futek joins us. Pete, welcome to the show.
I'll ask, where are these great matchups this weekend? Because that's kind of the weird thing when Ohio State's off, that, okay, where's the big matchup? I guess, I don't know, is Indiana UCLA doing it for everyone? Miami, I think, is off. I mean, like, it's just, there aren't really the superpower matchups. So that's always when you get the big upset from somewhere crazy happening. But, yeah, it's more of one of those shakeout weekends where we'll see a lot of teams, you know, duck out of the college football playoff chasing at that third loss. But other than that, the real big matchup this weekend in Michigan State's prime time, not exactly scintillating.
Oh, you're saying Ole Miss, Oklahoma, not a big matchup there, Pete?
It is, kind of. I mean, because here's the crazy part about that game. So Oklahoma, look, they have the most brutal schedule I've ever seen over a Final Five games. I mean, they play everybody who's good in the SEC the rest of the way, and it starts with this Ole Miss game. So if they lose this, they could drop at least two or three more. And if they win, that doesn't really guarantee much of anything. If Ole Miss wins this, and this kind of matters in Big Ten world, if you care about, you know, any of your teams like an Illinois or a Michigan maybe going 10-2, if Ole Miss wins this, it's running the table and going 11-1. So this, if you care about this sort of thing in the college football playoff world, you're kind of rooting for Oklahoma this weekend to at least hand Ole Miss a second loss.
So with that, Pete, it should not be – it should not go unmentioned that Ohio State's schedule ends up looking pretty cupcake this year. I know they had Texas to start the season, but there's really none of these matchups the rest of the way look all that difficult. Do we need to change scheduling to make more compelling matchups a year out, 6 months out, just so we can avoid stuff like this happening to a juggernaut in Ohio State?
Yeah, no, it's not its fault. You can't really do that because you're right. These are business decisions, and you know it all relies on the TV deals and the trying to set it up right. Because you know, like this weekend's Oregon Wisconsin, that was supposed to be a big game. You know, if you've thought about this, I don't know, a year or two ago, that seemed like it was supposed to matter, and obviously it's an afterthought now. Ohio State Penn State was supposed to be the game of the year. You know, and there, but for a fourth down stop that they didn't come up with, it still might have been. And now that kind of looks like a free space. And so, you know, look at last year, everyone was complaining about the.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The Indiana schedule, well, it got Michigan and it got, you know, Washington, the two national championship teams from the year before. So you never really know. And then all of a sudden, Vanderbilt's a tough game. You know, all of a sudden, Indiana is a, you know, oh my gosh, you're not going to win that game against the Hoosiers. It really is hard to predict way that far in advance.
Why does it feel like the common theme for most people discussing, and I'm not saying this is you, but most people discussing are like, oh, there's no great team in college football when Ohio State does exist, though?
Yeah, because it's so methodical. And there is, I'll put it this way, there's no great team out there other than Ohio State. It just, I am not sold on the SEC. So I could come back to bite me and stuff. So here's what's going to happen. If you look at the schedules ahead, there's probably going to be like 5-10-2 or 1-11-1 and 4-10-2 SEC teams. So you're going to get Alabama in, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, maybe a Tennessee, Georgia. And so they're all going to get in that thing. I don't know if they're going to do much. I mean, because Ohio State's great up top. I'm buying the Indiana being in the real deal, at least until someone can hit that curveball. Miami, okay, they had a bad day, gets a little, but talent-wise, they've got the chops, they've got the lines to be able to do something, and I still think, even though they lost to Texas A&M, Notre Dame is kind of the under-the-radar rolling team. That bunch is better than last year. Maybe an SEC team does a little something, but that you don't have that powerhouse up top, you know, maybe because Alabama is probably the best team, and they lost to Florida State, so it just doesn't look right. Meanwhile, Ohio State, like you said, I mean, you don't really have to watch because they're just kind of going through the motions. I mean, they play like a team that won the national championship last year and doesn't have to prove much anything. So they toyed with Wisconsin and just, you know, they took target practice against that defense, and they just kind of keep on rolling, and let's see what they do going forward, obviously, until get to Michigan, which is the one game that obviously will matter on this slate.
Well, that was leading me right to my question. Will Ohio State lose the rest of the regular season?
Even if it does, again, we went through this all last year. If it does, it doesn't matter, you know, because they're not going to lose three times. So they're going to get in the college football playoffs. So no matter how that happens, once you get in it, then everything is fine from there. As we saw last year, just get in the show, and it depends on who's the hot team at the right time. That was certainly the Buckeyes last year. But no, I mean, I don't see. I mean, of course they could on the wrong day gag against Michigan, and I'm not putting it completely past Penn State to come up with something big. There's still a lot of talent on that team, but obviously that would have to take a big upset to do it. So I can't quite see where Ohio State gets tripped up, but considering they already got past Illinois, and considering that they, you know, the Texas game was well in the rearview mirror, so I don't know where that loss is coming from.
If it was a neutral field game tomorrow, Indiana and Ohio State, what is your betting line on it?
Ohio State probably the 7.5. Look, Indiana's good. I mean, this is a very, very, very good, obviously well-coached team. They don't do anything wrong. I mean, they don't turn the ball over. They don't get hit with silly penalties. They fix glitches fast. And you've got to be able to handle that. They execute everything perfectly. They are always going to have, you know, you got a smart quarterback in Mendoza who always makes the right read. They still got pushed, you know, by Iowa. You know, they had to fight. They had to, you know, it was close till the end. They had to take that weird, you know, odds killing safety that, you know, to finally put that game away. So they are actually beatable. It's not like they're this unstoppable juggernaut. But, you know, everyone remembers the Illinois game, and certainly when you beat Oregon at Oregon, it looks great. So as long as Ohio State just is able to keep playing well on defense like they're playing and not have to stress it too much on offense, they're going to be all right. But, you know, look, hopefully we get 12-0 Indiana, 12-0 Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship, which at that point becomes just an exhibition game. But, okay, that would still be a pretty fun game.
Pete Futek of the College Football News on the Fan Hotline here with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin. Pete, I know the record isn't great this year, but can we all agree Deion Sanders to FSU is what college football and FSU needs?
Oh, your lips to God's ears. That's, you know, I'm with you. I mean, if you're Florida State, how do you not at least address it? I mean, because you're right. It's the post-Shador era. Is not good. And remember, they Colorado had a bunch of really wonderful, thrilling wins, which kind of made the show that much more fun because Shador kept pulling games out of the fire. And so he's only, what, 16-16 there at Colorado, which considering they were 1-11 the year before and just completely in the doldrums, all right, that's great. You know, he's doing a great job. But, you know, Coach Prime, and he's probably my favorite athlete of all time, as a coach, he's been fine, but he's not good. He hasn't been good in bowl games either at Jackson State or at Colorado. And the team hasn't been able to come through quite in the clutch. But if you're Florida State, you have to at least think about it. Otherwise, I don't know, you know, where that guy is coming from who you're going to be that excited about to get that job, unless you're going, you know, retread mode, which I'm not buying into the Jimbo Fisher is coming back idea. But they're going to do something because this just didn't work under Norvell over the last year and a half.
Pete, is Ty Simpson the best quarterback in college football?
Gosh, you know what? Throw about 10 names after that. Sayan hasn't ripped it yet, but he's playing well. C.J. Carr for Notre Dame has been fantastic. Mendoza is probably he would be my Heisman choice right now. You know, you got Diego Manziel right at Vanderbilt, you know, doing all this magical stuff. So in terms of just pure talent, I mean, you've got all those guys. Arch is eventually going to figure it out. He's playing okay. Mateer, if he's healthy, is great. Lenora Sellers is a top five draft pick. Carson Beck, I know he's coming off a bad game, but he's a top 10 caliber draft pick. So there's all these really, really, really good quarterbacks out there. And you have Ty Simpson, who's playing in the Kalen DeBoer system, and that is the exact fit, you know, because Michael Penix Jr. is obviously good, but you play in that system. But the thing about Alabama is they are becoming Washington of a couple years ago, except a little stronger. They don't have a great defense. They don't have a running game, but wow, does their downfield passing attack kicking in.
Pete, did college football make the wrong play when they allowed coaches and athletes to gamble on pro sports and passing that resolution earlier this week?
I don't get it. And I don't know why. I mean, it's going to happen no matter what. These guys always gamble, and you always had the things where the coaches would get pinched for having an NCAA tournament bracket, and they went too hard the other way. But, and I guess the whole point is, well, if you let them gamble, you know what their gambling patterns are, and you can sort of have a better view of it. So I do know the industry enough to understand that there really is an argument for that way. But it's a bad look, especially with what's going on in the NBA today. And you're talking about college kids who, all right, they're on NIL money. They make some money, but, you know, you're crazy to bet. You know, crazy in the NBA or in the pros because you have too much at stake. But for these college kids, okay, if you miss a kick, what do I care? We're still going to cover. You know, you're going to have a lot of that happening. It's just a really, really, really bad look because the last thing you want is for anybody to think that any of these games are going the wrong way. And the worst part about it is anytime anything funky happens, the automatic knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, wow, someone's, you know, on the take here for that. And that's the last thing you want to have is the integrity of the game at play here.
Why is it you feel like, you know, because you talked about the NBA and their involvement. We've did a lot with Class A and Ortiz here with baseball, and the NFL had their hangups as well. College basketball seems like it's littered with guys that are in on the rake and taking all sorts of cash and doing everything not in the up and up. Why does it feel like it hasn't hit college football the same way?
It's kind of hard to do. I mean, you do have it once in a while. I mean, but unless you've got the quarterback or the kicker in the bag, that's pretty much it. Because anybody else, okay, you can have a dropped pass if you're a wide receiver, or you can buy off a left tackle to have a really bad day. But it's a little bit harder for that. It's more about, you know, the kids who maybe bet a lot and maybe have some knowledge of another team. And that's where it gets a little funkier too, because, okay, you just played, you know, Team X. Well, the next week you're going to be like, oh, I know these guys. They stink at this, so I'm going to bet against them. That just goes again to the integrity of all this. So it's a hard thing to police, but you have to at least make it a shot because everyone's got a phone and everyone's got one of these gambling apps on their phones. And, you know, everyone's trying to figure out how to, oh, I'll just make $5 bid here, $10 there, which is not that big a deal. But like you kind of alluded to, all it takes is one really big misfire, and that throws everybody into the fire here.
All right, Joe. All right, Joe. All right, Pete. I know you'll see where this is going in a second. My brain just jumped the shark. I know you're a Wisconsin guy, so the question becomes, are you ready for Joe Thomas as Badgers head coach?
That wouldn't be, you know, I'll take my shot there. Honestly, I want James Franklin. You know, it's the crazy part about this Penn State thing, unless they've got someone absolutely 100% in mind. Like, Florida's got to have Lane Kiffin in mind to make this kind of move, for example, because they're not going to go with Dan Mullen. You know, if you're going to do this move right now, it just feels like you're taking a step back. And if you're Penn State, what's your move? Matt Rhule, Manny Diaz, I guess. So I don't know what you do if you're Penn State, because the most qualified guy for that gig is James Franklin. I'm hoping that, you know, for the most part, you know, McIntosh makes a really good, smart hire. And I guess what you're going to have to do with this is you're going to have to go back to the idea of what made Wisconsin good in the first place. Just strong offensive lines, just sound play. Everything else hasn't worked. And I got the idea of Luke Fickell because Wisconsin was, for the longest time, the top program that had not made the college football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Football playoff, at least in terms of wins. They had the most wins in the college football playoff era until a couple years ago that didn't make the playoff. So I get the idea you hit a hard ceiling and you had to tweak things, but this just, they just can't run. They don't have the hard defense. And this is just not even close to the Wisconsin of recent past.
If you want James Franklin, you deserve James Franklin, sir. Pete, be good, buddy.
70% of my wins, I'll take that deal.
But why do you think he's going to get that with lesser resources in Wisconsin?
He did a Vanderbilt. He's a good coach. I mean, his sin was that Drew Aller threw a overtime interception. And,
don't you put this on Medina's own, Drew Aller, or we will fight, Pete.
You tell him, Pete.
I'm sorry. They would have gotten to the college football playoff national championship game if he didn't throw that pick either. But look, the guy got to the playoff Final Four last year. He's doing something all right.
Bye, Pete. Pete Futek.
Bye, Pete.
On the Fan Hotline.
I don't get it. It's going to happen no matter what. These guys always gamble, and you always had the things where coaches would get pinched for having an NCAA tournament bracket, and they went too hard the other way. But, and I guess the whole point is, well, if you let them gamble, you know what their gambling patterns are, and you can sort of have a better view of it. So I do know the industry enough to understand that there really is an argument for that way, but it is a bad look, especially with what's going on in the NBA today. And you're talking about college kids who, all right, they're on NIL money. They make some money, but you're crazy to bet, crazy in the NBA or in the pros because you have too much at stake. But for these college kids, okay, if you miss a kick, what do I care? We're still going to cover. You're going to have a lot of that happening. It's just a really, really, really bad look.
Pete Futek, College Football News, joins us every Thursday at 4:20, and obviously we asked that question about college and the NCAA allowing coaches and athletes to gamble on pro sports. That was passed, I believe, yesterday, which made today the optics today of Terry Rozier, Chauncey Billups, and former Cavs assistant and player Damon Jones getting popped by the FBI for their involvement in different gambling ventures there. I understand the optics of this. I thought it was, when I started the show by saying the pearl clutching,
yeah,
when people took the NBA story and then made it about college football, that's the pearl clutching I'm talking about. Turning, hey, this valid story with that can impact the integrity of games, stuff like that, and then just anything tangentially related to gambling melting down over.
So I'm going to surprise you with this take, and I hate that I have this take. I don't love this take coming from me. I used to be different in this way. I'm kind of looking like you betting on pro sports. It could almost be looked at as almost like a gateway drug of sorts. Like the way I perceive gambling is just very different than when I was 15 years old going to the horse track and betting consistently, not only on sports I played with friends and doing everything like that, but like just in general. I do feel like there is a slippery slope that I feel like didn't used to exist that now does. And so I could see a scenario where you let a kid with NIL money go out there, bet on the pro games, loses his ass and all of a sudden then tries to find a way to get it back. And he's dealing with shady people and he's throwing games in shady ways. And it's all just out of desperation. Like that scenario plays out in my head in a way that I don't think I ever envisioned years ago.
I just think this idea, oh, you have to protect them. It's like, no, I have to protect the game. And the truth is, I can understand your fears, but the reality is, then a couple kids are going to have to be made cases of and lose their eligibility and lose their scholarship in the name of this. Like, I understand the fear that this can happen, and it likely will happen the same way it's happened in baseball, football,
it's happened
and
everywhere.
The NBA.
Yeah.
That's part of the stakes. I don't think that college athletes and certainly college coaches should be discluded from this just because it's in the college game. I don't really see any difference between any level of sports here.
I guess the difference for myself is the idea that I feel like most people be like, well, they'll find a way to gamble anyway. And I don't believe that to be true.
I do.
No, I just don't. I feel like if you're going to end up on, and I've seen enough people, enough friends that have ended up on these apps, and now they love gambling in a way that when I would talk gambling with them before didn't exist. Like it's just a whole new world and it's completely different. So I feel like you'd get somebody in on the idea that you get some bonus bets or whatever it is. And I could see a scenario. It's just a slippery slope. I could see a scenario. You end up getting hooked on it. And then you try to find ways to get out of being in a very desperate situation at 18, 19, 20 years old. And I could see how that ends up poorly.
I think that's where the NCAA or whatever, whoever actually is in charge in sports anymore, your guess is as good as mine, where they have to have a concrete plan. In the same way that it's collectively bargained in the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NFL, I do think this is part of your agreement. Every athlete signs the NCAA agreements. There has to be an absolute part of this in whatever contract you have with college football.
I know. I guess where I'm trying to protect them a little bit is that you are open to making the dumbest decisions of your life at that age. And that 18 to 22 year old gap is just, your brain isn't fully formed and you can make all sorts of decisions that you wouldn't make if you're a 30 year old pitcher. You know what I mean? Like it is different to me from that perspective. Maybe it's a bad day for us to be discussing this after everything that happened in the NBA. And I'm shocked by this being my take myself. But I just look at this and I'm like, you didn't have to allow this. You could have kept the band existing and it wouldn't have changed anything, except it might have protected a couple of these players and not only just keeping the game's integrity, but also keeping some of the NIL money in their pocket still.
I am a fan of pragmatism, not panic. Now, the problem is going to be the NCAA is not pragmatic. The NCAA waits until something grows to a ridiculous level, and then they have nothing, no choice but to do something about it, and then usually don't have power to do anything about it. So I just think, like, if you have pragmatic guardrails in place, you can avoid most of it. There will be trouble. The reality is, and by the way, the trouble that you're probably going to have probably is going to be there anyways. There probably already are kids gambling on games, whether it's games they're in or pro games. It's probably already happening. But if you have pragmatic guardrails in place, you can't avoid some of this the way that even though there are still the stories in the NBA, you've still avoided most of this because the number one thing you have to do is just have player awareness. You just have to be able to let the guys know what they can and can't do. And then when somebody does something you can't do, you need to have a hammer that can be dropped. The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.